Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Yes, welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. This is Speak Up. You can also find us online at cjsf.ca. My name is Jesse. Very grateful to be broadcasting from the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. It is Thursday, December 1st. Oh boy. Not only is it the first day of the last month of 2022, December 1st also marks World AIDS Day. The day to commemorate those we have lost to AIDS, but also to celebrate survivors and to bring awareness to all that's being done to help combat this pandemic of HIV/AIDS. So today on the show, I will be joined in 15 minutes or so by Rick Waynes. He'll be joining me over the phone. He is the writer and producer of the new play In My Day, which will be starting tomorrow, December 2nd, at the Culch. And it focuses on HIV's impact in Vancouver, the response to the pandemic that was and is the AIDS pandemic. We'll be talking. We'll see for how long. I know Rick's got a busy day today. So that's coming up. And, just lots of stuff. World AIDS Day is an important day for me. I lost my uncle to AIDS in 1988. I was only a year old, so I never got to know my Uncle Michael. Because at that point, survival rates for people with HIV/AIDS were very, very low. And they have gotten better with treatment, but that generally takes money. Being in a place where you're able to access that treatment and being in a, not just a location, but being in a place of privilege where you're able to access that treatment. Today is a good day to think about that, to maybe think about making a donation if that's something you can do. There are lots of organizations. I'll name some as we go. But also you can go see the play at the ZZ Theater at the Culch In My Day, starting tomorrow, December 2nd. So we'll have more about all of that to come. But we're going to start off with a little bit of music. This is Cool Down, the title track from an upcoming album from local-ish, Victoria-based act Bridal Party. This record, which, as I mentioned, is called Cool Down, will be out February 15th. So it's still a little bit of a ways to go, but we're getting an early taste here. As I mentioned, title track Cool Down by Bridal Party here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Sound
I knew love.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That was Waiting Game by Junior Boys. And now joining me on the line is Rick Waynes. Rick, can you hear me?
Hi, Jesse.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's World AIDS Day and also Day Without Heart. My mind and thoughts are with all the folks that weren't able to make it this far down the road, and also excited for the first public performance of our play In My Day tonight at the Vancouver East Cultural Center. Tomorrow is our first preview, and Monday, and then we open after that.
Busy, busy. Lots going on.
Yeah.
And as you said, today, World AIDS Day, a very big day, and just a very important moment to remember and look forward.
Yeah, for sure. HIV and AIDS is still a very clearly a thing for all kinds of folks all over the world, and I think given the the privilege that we have here in a country like Canada, where we have access to great medications, it can sort of maybe feel a little bit like, that AIDS is over. But it certainly isn't, and a lot of folks in this region around the world still, you know, struggle every day to keep their health and to stay happy and healthy. And so it's a good time just to remind ourselves that it isn't over.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to, especially as you mentioned, in this part of the world, to not see the sort of the level of privilege and access that, mm-hmm. that exists here. Not for everyone, obviously, but it does allow it to be sort of hidden or thought of as something that's, you know, in the past or taken care of when that's not the case.
Yeah, and also in this region, it's also, like you, I think you may have just mentioned, it's also important to understand that access to healthcare is not equitable either. There's all kinds of folks who face barriers to getting the healthcare that they, that we all deserve, given the resources we have in this country.
Yeah, and that plays into your new play, In My Day. Mm-hmm. Do you want to maybe just share with our listeners a brief overview?
Yeah, absolutely. It probably makes most sense to start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for this project, is an SFU grad by the name of Ben Klassen, who was doing his master's on... it ended up being called... it's interesting. I'm not sure that I know what the paper was called, but he wrote a paper. He wanted to know what effects HIV had on his community. He's a young queer man, and my understanding of his journey with that is that, you know, he had been hearing stories of the glorious West End and the Davy Village, and that his experience of that place in 2015, 16, 17 didn't seem to match those stories, the stories of the dozens of queer spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had this idea that HIV had an impact on that, which makes sense. And he also wanted to understand the role that the caregiving played in AIDS activism. So he started interviewing gay men about that survived, and their caregivers that survived the first 15 years of the pandemic, which are commonly referred to sometimes referred to as the plague years. The years when there was no effective treatment and, mm-hmm. and folks were dying quite regularly. So he did this master's thesis, and it was really successful. And so the University of Victoria picked it up and turned it into a broader oral history research project, where to date now 118 folks have been, and their caregivers have been interviewed about those first 15 years. And those 118 interviews are what I based this piece of verbatim theater on that I've been working on for the last couple of years. And that's the show that's going up at the Kulch starting tomorrow. And it's a verbatim theater for your listeners who aren't super familiar with that. It's a sort of a subset of documentary theater, and verbatim theater is where you find a resource like this, 118 interviews. You read them, you transcribe them, you distill them, and you do your best to use those interviews to tell the story of the first 15, in this case, the first 15 years of HIV. And because it's verbatim, you don't change any, you don't really clean up any of the language. You leave all the ums and all the ahs and all the restarts of sentences. That being said, it's 118 interviews, hundreds of hours of yeah. interview, and I can't include all of it, obviously. So it's a very big sort of, a little bit like maybe maple syrup, like 5 gallons equals 1 liter or something.
Right.
I've distilled it into to do my best to tell the story of the first 15 years and to ensure that the stories I include are diverse, you know, that we don't focus on one group of folks who have been affected. So we've done our best to build a story that's our story, a story of, you know, Vancouver's experience with HIV, which we haven't done much of in the last since 1980, you know, and we've relied on you know, American scripts, American sort of fiction scripts, however real they may feel. You know, Angels in America, The Normal Heart are amazing plays, but they're not our story, and this is our story. Well, you know, one way to tell it anyways.
Yeah, that's something that's I can feel is definitely lacking. And I mean, we get in all sorts of topics. There is this, you know, it's I don't know if easy is the right word, but it's simple to just see something that was produced in America and be like, oh, well, that's, you know, we're the same. But there are so many sort of details and all the different individual people that make it a completely different story.
Yeah, agreed. I think that, however much we have in common with the stories that you hear from our neighbors to the south, it's still important to recognize the specificity of our region, you know. And I mean, it's really nice to go to. I mean, one of the things I really like about this show is just all of the landmarks and all of the old clubs that get mentioned, and all of the spaces and all of the sort of very specific sort of demographic realities here, and the different. We spend a lot of time in Vancouver, and that just feels, and Victoria, and it just feels. Yeah, it's a lot easier to build meaning when you're inhabiting, you know, when your audience is inhabiting spaces inside of the play that they are, you know, at least somewhat familiar with. I mean, many of these spaces that we talk about in the play have disappeared. You know, one of the characters in the play says, I think there were 34 gay bars in Vancouver, and that is certainly not the case today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps to ground sort of the audience's experiences with familiar landmarks, with familiar people, with familiar stories.
Yeah,
and I think that ties into this concept that I've seen mentioned when discussing your work of memorial art. Can you explain both that term and maybe how that plays into In My Day?
Yeah, it's something I mean, working on this show in particular, because I'm working with material where, you know, these are the survivors telling stories of their journeys, but also a whole bunch of testimony, interview stories of folks who didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And so from the start, it has felt like a, you know, memorial. And so I felt like it was important for me to understand memorial and some contemporary thoughts around memorial. And I'm not an expert on memorial art. I've just sort of done my best to understand it a bit better as a playwright working with this material. And I think what I've learned is that, you know, our ideas of memorial have evolved over the decades and over the century, you know, where memorial often started with, you know, statues of, you know, people like Napoleon or something, you know, mm-hmm. the heroic figure on horseback. And then as sort of our understanding of the costs of conflict, you know, memorials started to be have, you know, some names you know, like monuments with names, World War One and Two and Vietnam War, you know, people start to build walls with names inscribed. And that is helpful because it begins to, you know, humanize mm-hmm. those conflicts a little bit. But more, I guess more, and those will remain important. But I think some of the thought around memorial art today is that, and what people are tending to focus on is the individual recollections of people who lived through it. You know, the Holocaust museums have done a very good job of that. And I feel like this piece is also in that realm, and that we're sharing the memories and the stories and the experiences of people who survived and people who didn't. And there's an academic who grew up in Edmonton but now lives in the States, Ted Kerr. He tends to write a lot about memorial and HIV, and they have put forward this notion, and it may not be an original notion, but it interested me in that, you know, remembering is not enough. That our when we're doing a piece of memorial, we have to do our best to tie those memories in with our current advocacy goals.
Mm.
And so there needs to be sort of an active spirit to the memorial. And if In My Day is a memorial, and I think it is, what we've tried to do is ensure that the stories we tell in this show are not instructive, but expose some of our failures in the hopes that that current day advocacy efforts can learn from. We've also, you know, included, you know, victories too. You know, like we made sure in those early days of HIV, we advocated and we protested and we changed things. And so I think for a younger generation of folks who may not have any firsthand experience or any memory in their body of that 15-year period, I think it's important for folks to get a sense of that time in order to, you know, potentially instruct them today on how to how HIV has affected their community, whichever community they are from, and how the struggles that folks are facing today can benefit from the experiences we had in those first 15 years.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's really important, especially when you consider, you know, in this case particularly, how there are huge chunks of entire generations of the community that aren't there to pass those lessons on person to person.
Yeah, that's a super important point, and you know, that a great many of the folks who might you might meet at a bar that no longer exists are no longer with us either. So yeah, there's a fairly big there are a great many holes. There's a scene in the play where we have someone's talking about a square dance that a friend of someone they were very close to, the square dancer, when they died, the folks that they square danced with on a regular basis did a special square dance in their honor. And what we've done with that information in the play is that we've choreographed, Tara Cheyenne Friedenberg, our choreographer, and Sean Donald, our director, have built a really beautiful really beautiful sort of melancholic square dance where every time the wheel turns, someone disappears. And so you end up with, in a sense, an empty square dance by the end. And it's just an example of the loss in the community, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, as a as a radio person, a person who is very focused on storytelling and that, I think, you know, when you mentioned sort of going from statues to names on a wall to the actual sort of personal lived experiences, that just, it makes such a difference to being able to connect and empathize and see that, you know, it's not just names on a wall. It's not just a statue. It's real people, and you can really see feel that connection and that impact.
Yeah, I think that's where verbatim really helps too, is that the second you hear a verbatim text, it is instantaneously recognizable as truth.
Yeah.
Because it's the way we talk to each other, and so there's no debate. I've written a couple other plays, and I think it would be fair to say that, you know, sometimes you wonder about whether your dialogue rings true.
Sure.
Right? And because you want to be pretty with words, or you want it to scan right, or you want it to, you know, feel like art. And this is there's no question when you hear these words in the bodies of our extraordinary cast, there's no question about their veracity. You know, it's truth. And whatever that word means.
Yeah,
everybody's,
right.
You know, truth is a little bit different, and everybody's memory has the holes, but it's that's what I really enjoyed about the verbatim material, is just how honest it feels.
Yeah, well, and once again, to pull it back to radio, it's, as you mentioned, sort of akin to documentary there, where you've got you've got sort of actual primary source there.
Yeah, totally.
Well, what do you want people who attend the play to come away with? What is there a takeaway? Is there an overall feeling? Like, what do you hope people get from In My Day?
Yeah, I think when I think about the show and I think about the audience, I guess I think about a couple of different kinds of audience members.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's we've done our best to build a very dramatically interesting, fun, celebratory, funny, mournful piece of theater that I think anyone who enjoys the form of theater will, regardless of their connection to HIV, will come and enjoy the form and the very, very fine work that our creative team has done. There's also, and those folks who don't necessarily have a connection to the material, I think it will be interesting for them to have a sense of the resiliency of the communities in our region who are disproportionately affected by HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think understanding the strengths of those communities is important. I also think humanizing these disproportionately affected communities humanizing the stories, I mean, it remains important today. I mean, we're not very far removed from just a few days, really, from yet another shooting in a queer space. And so I think that work is never done. We also live in a city that, despite its extraordinary resources, there are, you know, disproportionately affected communities like Indigenous folks and people of color and folks who live without housing. There's still significant barriers to effective health care and treatment, and so those stories are important for people to hear, and we have them in this show. So I think about that audience. I think about young folks who come from these disproportionately affected communities and how important it is for them to understand the effect that these stories of this time had on their community. And also, I think I guess I probably think mostly about the folks like me who survived, who we still have some work to do in order to, you know, we still have a lot of healing to do. Mm-hmm. Those were really hard years where everybody, you know, it's not really much hyperbole, you know, like to say that, you know, everyone we knew died. Not everyone. I'm still here. I still have friends who made it. But it was a catastrophe, and then the world moved on. Once, you know, we had effective treatment for those who could access it, it stopped being front of mind, and we were, those of us who survived, just were kind of asked to, or we had to just move on. And I think a lot of that healing never really, you know, it's going to be different for everyone, but some of that healing still needs to take place. And what I really hope is that this, you know, beautiful old church and these extraordinary stories are a place for folks like me to gather and in a safe way, you know, process a little bit more. So I think that sort of sums up how I feel about audiences.
Yeah, lots of reasons to go and attend, lots of different things to pull from it. And it sounds like exactly what memorial art is supposed to do.
We're doing our best. Thanks.
Rick, thank you for joining me today. Is there anything else you think people should know about In My Day? It's at the historic ZZ Theater at the Kulch, December 2nd to 11th.
Yeah, come join us and help us remember and learn. And our first preview is tomorrow, and then we open day after, and we run till the 11th. And the Vancouver East Cultural Center Historic Theater is where it is happening. And if you just go, if you type into your search bar "In My Day," the Kulch, you go straight to our page, and you can get a ticket.
Great.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, Rick.
Talk again. Thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
That was Rick Wains, the writer and co-producer of In My Day, which, as he and I mentioned, is at the historic ZZ Theater at the Kulch, the Eastside Cultural Center, opening tomorrow, December 2nd, and running until the 11th. Please go see it. As you heard through our conversation, is going to be a very moving piece of memorial art and a great piece of theater in and of itself. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm Jesse, and this is Andy Schaaf with a track called Green Glass.
Morning, baby, two wearing through the past. Look through the green glass for me, we will. Look through the green glass for me, we will. Maybe we could go home soon. Stare up in the static charge. I can't leave the room. It would feel better if I was telling you.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to Speak Up. That was Higher Than Thou by Fountain Bather off the new record by the same name. Before that, you heard Green Glass by Andy Schaaf. And before that, you heard my interview with Rick Wains, the writer and co-producer of In My Day, a new play based on a community-based oral research history project titled HIV In My Day. The play looks at the early years of the AIDS pandemic from a Vancouver perspective. You can check that out at the Culch, the East Side Cultural Center, the ZZ Theater, from December 2nd to 11th, if you go to theculch.ca, or just Google In My Day Play. You can find tickets for that. Just about out of time here, so I'm going to play you one, maybe two more songs, depending on how long they end up being. And then Democracy Now! Is up next. I will see you next week. This is Sad China, Human, remixed by Devour.
You'll get through this. You can do this.